and welcome to Podwarp 1999, episode 40, Kenneth Branagh's entire Shakespearean monologue from the Olympics opening ceremony. I'm Ben Padden, and joining me are the other guys.
Hello.
That's it. Done.
Hello.
Intro. Intro'd.
Boom. So, but wait a minute. Ben, you were supposed to actually recite the monologue.
Oh, is that what you wanted me to do?
Well,
Entire monologue, yes.
The whole thing.
See, otherwise, we have to come up with a topic for the first half of the show. Whereas if you're just reciting Shakespeare...
I will be honest with you, I actually think it's a little bit offensive that you're asking the British guy to recite Shakespeare. Just because I'm British, you think that, you know, I must know all of Shakespeare's work just immediately off the top of my head. Frankly, that's an inexcusable form of prejudice, and I demand a formal apology from each and every both of you.
So you're saying you don't know it?
I don't know it, no. I probably learned it, but I have had to erase that space to make room for, you know, vital pin numbers.
Now, to be fair, though, I'm a theater major, and I don't know it either, so...
Well... That's really more your problem than mine.
Good point.
Yes. So, yes, episode 40, we'll do actual proper introductions. I'm Ben Padden of Jump Leads. With us is Tom Truskowski of Station V3, which you can find at stationv3.com, and that was him. Mm-hmm. Mark Mechers, that's his name now. I can't say your name properly, there's a rule. Mark Mikkei of all the things he does, Zortik. And are you still doing Sources Seekers? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I haven't been reading it.
Actually, you know what? I say that. That's a lie. It is in my RSS feed. I just haven't looked at it for a while.
That's fair.
And joining us for the first time, and hopefully not the last time...
Did we actually get Professor Henrod P. Quiggleshiggles this week?
We did not get Professor Henrod P. Quiggleshiggles. He's too busy coming up with random happenstance using his generator of that. So he is unfortunately unavailable and probably won't be available for the foreseeable future. But in his place, we have someone whose name I cannot remember.
Okay, this is going to be really hard to remember. All right, here it goes. Okay. David Davis.
Hang on, let me write this down.
You can remember Henrald P. Quiggleshiggles, but you can't remember...
David. One might think that was a very cleverly thought joke. But I couldn't possibly comment. And so let me write this down. Davis or Davies?
Davis.
So not Davies as in Russell T. Davies, but Davis as in no one interesting has the last name Davis.
Pretty much.
Awesome. Okay, cool. And David Davis is the mastermind behind the webcomic Cosmic Dash, which you can read at cosmic-dash.com. Note, that is the word dash, not an actual dash, in case there are any idiots listening. So, seeing as we are joined by Mr. Davis and his esteemed comicking, let's talk about that for a while. Why don't you tell us, give us a little bit of background on Cosmic Dash? And basically tell us why we should give a shit.
Well, it's pretty.
That is true. I definitely agree with that.
I guess to start off, this character, the titular character, Dash, I've had him in my head since elementary school, and I'm 25 now, so... He's changed over time, but I eventually kind of got into the whole space opera thing, and I kind of pursued that, and it's worked out well so far. So
cool. Yeah. I definitely approve of that. And again, it is very pretty. The art style is kind of it almost puts me in mind of the parts of your character design. Put me in mind of some of the just kind of the lines and shapes from the 1980s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. But with a modicum of like a liberal sprinkle of some of the lines and shapes and curves and colors of something a little bit more modern, like Invader Zim or another cartoon that I can't remember the name of. So visually, I love the way that your comic looks.
I really appreciate that, and I'm glad you mentioned the Ninja Turtles thing because I'm like a Ninja Turtles fanatic.
Awesome.
So yeah,
Did you know, and I'm sure this will be edited out, but did you know that in the UK, The cartoon was renamed Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Yes, it is.
Well, you're the only other person I've spoken to since I moved here who knew that. And we only got the first three seasons as well, so there's like 7 seasons worth of Ninja Turtles that I haven't seen.
So you never got the crazy Red Sky episodes then?
Nope.
Oh, those are so weird.
I'm going to have to check them out. I added all 10 seasons to my Amazon wishlist, so I'm probably going to order them at some point. So, yeah. Well, but Ninja Turtles isn't sci-fi. It's not worth talking about here.
Well, it is totally sci-fi.
I know. I was just trying to change the subject back to you.
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Boardwalk 1999. I've been Ben Padden, and I'm just deaf. So you started Cosmic Dash in 2010. You've had this character in your head since you were, I'm going to say, 4 years old, because I don't know anything about the American educational system, so I'm assuming that's when you finished school. How's it working out for you?
Well, actually, Cosmic Dash is doing pretty well. I mean, I'm not like doing Penny Arcade numbers.
Even Penny Arcade aren't doing Penny Arcade numbers.
Oh man, but no, I've actually it's gotten bigger. That's the thing. If you look on the site, there's actually a little thing in the sidebar called Latest Story, and there's a little animated GIF. I'm actually doing short stories that go along with the comic that kind of expand on things and actually bring in new writers who are writing within that universe. So
wow.
It's been very fun. It's kind of like I'm creating my own Star Wars, which I'm totally happy about.
Nice. As long as you don't ruin it with a bunch of prequels.
Well, I'm actually doing kind of prequelish elements in this current comic episode, so we'll see if that kind of takes everything downhill.
Nice.
So, is this where you introduce a character, Jar Jar Dash?
No, but I'm going to have to write that down. I like that.
For some reason, my brain went Jar Jar Dashian.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that one hurt me.
That's like the two of the worst things in the entire universe, and you amalgamate them into one.
They're one both incredibly Uber. Artificial.
Yeah. Like the news that Avril Lavigne and the lead singer of Nickelback are engaged. Yeah. Let that sink in for a minute.
Does it involve time travel somehow?
Could do. I did quip on Twitter, and it got retweeted quite a lot. I did quip on Twitter that if they ever have a kid, they could send the kid back in time, and that kid would grow up to become Bryan Adams. So it could happen. Don't say it couldn't, because it's totally feasible and believable, and another word that ends with ible.
Because it already has.
It did. See, the fact that Bryan Adams exists is proof that Avril Lavigne and Dude McBeardface have access to time travel.
It's Back to the Future rules.
Yes, probably. Wait, no, Back to the Future rules wouldn't work, because if the time travel hasn't happened yet, we wouldn't be aware of the changes.
I just wanted to talk about Back to the Future.
It's a good thing to talk about, because it is absolutely spectacular. Did you play the games at all? The Telltale games?
Yes, I did.
What did you think?
I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
Me too.
I like the fact that they brought Michael J. Fox in as, Witch McFly. It was William, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, William all grown up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they did that. That was really cool. Plus his surprise cameo at the end, which I won't ruin for anyone who hasn't played the game, but it's really cool, if slightly silly.
Yeah. I haven't tried Jurassic Park yet, but I've heard mixed things.
Yeah, Jurassic Park seems kind of 50-50, but I've heard really good things about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I've actually really wanted to get into that. I've been enjoying the show, you know, despite all its faults. I've loved it. Zombies on TV every Sunday.
So. Can't complain about that. If you're just joining us, this is Podwarp 1999, the video game podcast about video games, where games are games.
Well, why not? Yeah.
Do we have any actual topics for proper discussion?
Well, actually, I wanted to ask David. Now, you know, fitting in with the Podwarp 1999 theme, all of us basically have shows that we tend to gravitate towards and bring up again and pay each other a dollar whenever we bring up. So,
such as Red Dwarf and Doctor Who.
Yes, Quark.
I'm PayPaling you right now, by the way. Oh no, you just said Quark. No, I don't have to say.
We're even out. Yeah,
we're balanced. Yes.
Star Lost.
There you go. Okay. So David, what would be your classic show that you would keep bringing up?
Oh, I mean, if you want to talk about like current obsessions, not sci-fi, but Breaking Bad. I think that's the pinnacle of television. But as far as sci-fi goes, I've been using Netflix to binge on shows that I've missed during the run.
Nice.
So I finished the entire run of the Battlestar Galactica reboot.
Oh, it's such a great show. Absolutely love that reboot.
It's good, but it gets like super wacky religious after a while. But I just ate it up. I loved it.
I mean, I don't mind the spiritual stuff. I think, you know, within the universe that Ron Moore and the writers and the production team there built up, I think it makes sense and it works, and I absolutely love. I mean, I'm an atheist personally, so the religious stuff. I know that there are some people who might get upset or offended by the fact that this stuff exists, but personally, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was perfect. I loved the finale. I know that there are people who may. Who may disagree with me, and but you know, I absolutely love that show. I rewatched it because my girlfriend hadn't seen it, so we did a marathon run from beginning to end. The only thing we haven't watched yet is The Plan, but it's such a great show.
Just some of the conveniences, and it's the whole spiritual angle. Just, you know, just like no, I just wasn't a fan of how some of the things wrapped up so conveniently, or how they. Push the plot along with certain things, but I mean, it was still a great show. I mean, I love Starbuck and Gaius. I absolutely loved Gaius.
I adore Gaius.
Best character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the way that they took the basic premise of the original show and de-goofified it. You know, they made it work, and it's consistent, and it's intelligent, and it's brilliant. And they did a really, really good job with that.
I was also a fan how they integrated the song All Along the Watchtower. I thought that was really clever. I really liked that.
Yeah, that was really, really good.
So are you very familiar with the original series as you were watching it?
I ended up watching a lot of it in high school. I took a TV film history class, and we ended up watching that. I probably just made a couple of you guys feel really old. But,
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah, so.
Nice. I've seen virtually none of the original series. It wasn't my thing when I was younger. Well,
that was actually one of the things I really liked about the new series was how much of the old series they did work into it in weird different ways.
Yeah, they didn't change the
vibes at all. And I know that they did a really good job with kind of the classic style Cylons were kind of worked in as the Cylons that they fought during the first Cylon War, and I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It was really cool. Another thing that exists, that is a thing that is existing, is Galactica 1980, which no one has seen, certainly not me, but I've heard it's very, very good, and it's just a case of Comedy Central figuring out what they're going to do with it, which I'm going to guess is nothing, because it's brilliant, and why would they do that?
Hey. I'm kind of worried about trying Caprica. I've heard mixed things about that.
My dad, who's not a fan of Galactica, really liked Caprica. So for me, that's an immediate red flag because he also thought Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland was a masterpiece. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Incidentally, editing note for whoever's editing this, it occurs to me that mentioning Comedy Central and Galactica 1980 is probably worth editing out for reasons that I'll talk about when we finish recording. So that should probably go that's just occurred to me. So sorry to interrupt.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll replace every mention with Galactica 1980 instead.
Good idea. I tell you what I should do is I should say Galactica 1980 now in a nice, clear audio, so you've got the audio that you can drop in, and then I need something else that I can drop in place of Comedy Central for the network. So here's
Comedy Central.
Yeah. Oh, good idea. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
Galactica 1980. Comedy Central. There we are. Right. We're done. Problem solved. That's it.
Nope. Woo, no, that's no, close. No, no.
I didn't want to get in trouble. I was nearly in breach of contract there. That was close.
And, you know, we could use that for a lot of stuff now. Yes. Gotta get that out in like an instant replay. So we can just,
Ben, tell us again. What's your favorite show?
Comedy Central. What? That doesn't make sense, Ben. Are you having a nervous breakdown? Galactica 1980.
So. we're set. You know, Ben, yes. If you miss any more episodes, we're covered. We'll work in. Yep.
You know, actually, I should probably record like some B-roll. So if you guys ever need to record on your own, I can just sit. You've just got like backup MP3s of me going, "Yeah, I agree." Or that reminds me of an episode of Red Dwarf.
Yeah. I like it.
Yes.
Too. Anyway, enough of this bollocks.
Yes. What bollocks would you like to talk about?
We were talking to let me just check his name on this. What did I write down? We were talking to David about his television obsessions, and obviously you mentioned Galactica and Breaking Bad, which I guess is technically sci-fi because we all know that a science teacher can't actually do science, as mad. So, is there anything else that has been on TV or is on TV that that you crave above all else?
I wouldn't know about craving, but I'm really enjoying Gravity Falls on Disney, which is really good so far.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was kind of really enjoying Motor City for a while, but it's kind of... I've noticed some problems with it, character development being lacking, and then the fan bases have gotten a hold of it and started shipping everybody that breathes. So
I'll tell you what, that's fandom anyway. One of the things that amuses me so much about Avengers fandom is the assumption that Tony Stark and Bruce Banner are basically fucking. That's the assumption. No, and that on its own is a little bit problematic, but I can kind of understand where that comes from.
For Tony.
Oh, definitely. Oh my God, he would literally get torn in half. But it's like the notion that two male characters on a movie or television show can't so much as look at each other without fandoms going, "Look, that's it. That means they're fucking. They're fucking now. One of them has had the other one's dick inside them, or/slash vice versa." So yeah, that's problematic. But the other problem is the assumption that I'm blanking on the one with the crossbow whose name escapes me.
Hawkeye.
Yes, sorry, thank you everyone who said Hawkeye, which was a bunch of people, like someone walking by on the street yelled Hawkeye at the same time, which was weird. Literally no one ships Hawkeye and Black Widow. It's weird. It's like everyone's like, "Well, why aren't you shipping them?" And the fandom response is, "Oh, they're just good friends, but Tony Stark and Bruce Banner are totes fucking you guys. And I bet Captain America likes to watch. Ooh, check that out. Ooh, they're all up ins each other." And it's deeply problematic for me. I have serious issues with the way the fandom, most fandoms generally deal with a lot of male relationships. And how they just kind of extrapolate as well. They can't possibly just be good friends. I know they're fucking. I'm done. I'm clocking out. That's me for the day. That's my thought process. I don't need to amend that. No notes. No additionals. No consideration. That is the conclusion I have reached. I'm going to go home and have myself a s'mores pop tart in celebration of how brilliant that idea is. And I bet no one else has ever had that idea. And then you look on Tumblr and you look on the Avengers tag on Tumblr, and there is a lot of Tony Stark's ass being stared at by Bruce Banner in either Photoshops or doodles or cleverly constructed animated GIFs. And it's a problem for me personally.
You and I are on the same page here.
Yes.
I'm right there with you.
I can't argue with that.
I'm very glad. Oh, that's my phone. Sorry.
Really?
I just got a text message. So yeah, I changed all of the notifications on my iPhone to sounds from the video game Worms. So whenever I get a text message, I get this delightful sound of a very chipper and upbeat British worm saying,
"Hello." Nice.
So
there we go.
So that's me. That's how I roll.
I got Super Mario sounds on mine.
I have a Super Mario ringtone, but the rest of my tones are worms because I am a gigantic freak.
Well, I have the mushroom sound when Mario grabs a mushroom and he grows. But, you know, since I keep my phone in my pocket, I keep worrying that people are going to think it means I have an erection or something whenever my phone goes off.
Yeah.
Well, add to that.
That could work in your favor in some situations, perhaps.
I don't doubt.
So we've talked about my erections. So yes.
Now that the weekly erection section of the podcast has come to a close.
The weekly awkward silence part of the podcast follows.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold in my laughter because I'm worried I laugh too much. So I'm like here biting my finger just like, oh, don't laugh.
I'll tell you one of the interesting things that exists. Actually, we do have some sci-fi news. Breaking sci-fi news, in fact.
Oh, yes?
The seventh series, or season, if you're American, of Doctor Who broadcasts in the UK, North America, and the Canadians on September 1st.
And did you hear the little addition that I noticed today? The Pond spinoff.
Yes. Well, it's not so much a spin-off as it is kind of a prequel web mini-series thing.
Yeah, web minis. But hey, what the heck?
It's something. Close enough, right?
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I've been watching Doctor Who, and I've been enjoying it.
I grew up watching classic Doctor Who. This is, if you've listened to the podcast at all before this, and I'm assuming that you have, because who hasn't? You will know that I basically adore Doctor Who. It is the reason I watch television. The reason I still have a television. I don't have cable at the moment, but I have a television just to watch Doctor Who.
I kept fighting myself to watch it because I have this problem where I'm like obsessive about stuff. So I won't watch a show unless I have access to everything. And then I read that the BBC deleted a bunch of the Doctor Who tapes.
Yeah, they've lost. There are currently 106 missing episodes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's individual episodes, by the way, from the classic series, which would often make up a whole serial. For example, the first story featuring the Daleks, which is known as The Daleks, is made up of 8 26-minute episodes. So that's what we're looking at. That's what's missing is individual episodes. Some of them are whole serials. Some of them are bits of a missing serial. But the BBC still have like audio recordings of most of those missing episodes and have actually one of the stories, which is called The Invasion, which is a Cyberman story. They actually reconstructed the missing episodes by getting Cosgrove Hall to animate them. Cosgrove Hall being the guys who did Count Duckula and Danger Mouse.
Yeah. Yep. They're doing another one, too, I think.
Yes.
Reign of Terror.
Yes, I believe you're right.
Yeah, I ended up watching Doctor Who after I basically got convinced that I could start with the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah, so, you can start from the 2005 season, and you know you don't have to watch any of the classic stuff to understand what's happening in the new show.
It still feels like cheating to me.
Nah.
Tell you what, though, I like the Ninth Doctor the best. He's personally.
I love the Ninth Doctor. My personal favorite at the moment is the tie between the Second and Eleventh Doctors. So suck it, bitches. I don't know. Well, this has been fun.
Well, okay. Here's a topic. Getting back to right in time for the spirit of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
What about sports in science fiction?
That's a good topic.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, for example, you have things like Red Dwarf has 0G football, which we never actually got to see, but based on some of the uniforms, I would assume it's kind of a zero gravity adaptation of American football.
Sure. And I think Battlestar Galactica had some
pyramid.
Yeah, pyramid. Yeah.
Pyramid or it, triad, yeah. Depending on which version you're watching.
Ah. Yes.
Because in one show, triad was the game, pyramid was the card game. And then you got the names wrong for the reboot.
No one cares. Literally no one cares.
Nope.
No. And Star Trek, I think, had, Parisi Squares or something? That they talked about, but they never really showed.
Which show?
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, Star Trek had a bunch of various sports and games, and I'm sure Parisi Squares was one of the sports that they actually did. See, now I want to look it up.
Maybe.
And there was there was the martial arts thing where Riker's father would cheat.
Oh, yeah.
And there was the phaser thing where Worf and Guinan would shoot robots.
Well, that was just target practice, wasn't it?
Maybe. Or it could have been a sport. You don't know.
It's okay. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Death Race. Is that a sport?
Bet your ass.
death racing a sport? Or yeah, okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad death I was able to settle that.
Problem solved. Excellent. Thank you.
I always thought F-Zero would be an amazing thing to have happen. I love F-Zero.
F-Zero being kind of
Nintendo's kind racing of
more
game,
yeah. Kind of more sort of a serious sci-fi take on Mario Kart.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I'm obsessed with F-Zero, and yeah, I think that would be like the best thing in the world.
I agree, and I concur. F-Zero and Wipeout are basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. F-Zero has funnier characters, though.
That is true. And actually, the Sony Studios Liverpool, who make Wipeout and who were originally Psygnosis and developed or at least published games like Lemmings, shut down this week.
Aww.
Yeah. Hmm. Heartbreaking.
That sucks.
Yes.
The end.
So are we still Googling sports in Star Trek?
Probably. I suppose. Well, I just closed the tab. But
you know, another great example is I had Starship Troopers on the other day, and mm-hmm. they have that football game in there, where it's just like indoor football, but everything's like silver and metallic and totally
like
unusable.
Science fiction.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. I just thought it was kind of humorous that
throw more silver and lights at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interestingly, Memory Alpha's article on sport. Sorry, actually, you know what? It's recreational activities. That makes less sense, but they list three-dimensional chess.
Full contact three-dimensional chess.
Yes.
There you go. Yes.
Oh, and Parisi Squares is. I think it has actually been featured in the show. See, I'm seeing the uniforms.
Ah, well, of course, Deep Space Nine. They played baseball too.
Yes.
Yeah, which is of course ridiculous because no one plays baseball. what is the name of it? I'm trying to find it.
Vampires play baseball.
Hoverball is a sport. Oh, ion surfing. Orbital skydiving. These are all sports in Star Trek.
Well, sure.
Yes.
I don't think you can get me to orbital skydive.
Yeah. Orbital skydiving, as described by 7 of 9, is the, quote, act of leaping from a spacecraft at exospheric altitudes.
So in the latest Star Trek film, they were basically doing a sports maneuver?
That was an example of an extreme sport. Although that sequence, the skydiving sequence in the 2009 Star Trek movie, always reminds me of the opening sequence from the Power Rangers movie where they skydive.
Nice.
Only one who's seen that movie?
Probably.
Probably.
I think Generations was originally supposed to have a scene of Kirk
mountain climbing.
No, that was 5.
Oh, no, they did that on 6, on Generations as well. It's in the novelization.
I think you're right, but I think they also had him doing the orbital skydive.
Oh.
So, I think that was a cutscene or something.
Hmm. I agree.
Okay.
Okay.
So is it better when the show makes up a new futuristic science fiction sport or uses an existing one?
You run the risk of dating yourself when you use an existing sport.
There is that.
But you also run the risk of not dating yourself when you don't use a futuristic sport. A modern-day sport, rather. So, who knows?
True. Well,
who among us can say?
Well, some sports are kind of like something that a society would naturally achieve over time. Like, for example, jousting. There's an anime series called Crest of the Stars, and one of the main characters talks about this kind of dueling sport that they have where they put them in a zero-G room, tie them together with bands, and then they kind of use the bands to ricochet at each other and joust.
Huh.
And, yeah, it's just like a universal sport that you would expect with other cultures and that sort of thing. So,
interesting. Yeah. The end.
The end. Meanwhile, you've got, using an existing sport, you've got Galactica 1980 with the episode Spaceball.
Never a real thing.
I'm sure everyone's watched that one. That's where the Super Scouts have to pose as a baseball team.
Oh, God.
I think I remember that one.
The screen grab alone looks awful.
Yes. Look for it on Netflix.
No, don't ever. Never, ever, ever.
Oh my god. It's like Bad News Bears.
Yes.
I think I see Jackie Earl Haley at the front there.
Oh, I love this from the analysis section of the Battlestar Wiki for that episode. Barring a successful bid to steal another Viper, Xavier is effectively trapped on Earth in the present time frame. However, it should be noted in The Day They Kidnapped Cleopatra, an episode being prepped at the time Galactica 1980's cancellation order came down, Xavier somehow managed to obtain a Viper with a time warp synthesizer. What the what?
Oh, gotta love sci-fi analysis.
Oh, it's such a shame that got canceled, because that would have been an obvious classic.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
True. Oh, the Super Scouts was a two-parter.
Wonderful. Fortunately, Spaceball wasn't.
Fortunately, Spaceball wasn't.
I'm taking notes.
Yes. I look at the guest star list for the Super Scouts Part 1. Is you got like the first like eight people or so, and then it's Michael Brick as Super Scout, Jeff Kotler as Super Scout, Nicholas Davies as Super Scout, Ronald Densford as Super Scout, Mark Everett as Super Scout, Georgie Irene as Sunshine, credited as Super Scout.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Jesus bloody hell.
It must be easy to call them for dinner. Super Scout dinner.
Oh, what larks.
Yes. Anyway.
Anyway.
Another science fiction sport example is from The Prisoner. With a made-up one that they should add to the Olympics. Kasho.
Kasho?
Yes.
That's never a real... That sounds fake.
Yep.
Karate plus trampolines plus dunk tanks equals Kasho.
Wow.
That's the sport. Nice. That's the headline from IO9 from an article back in 2010.
Excellent,
incredible.
They're different.
That looks like something from like the ABC series Wipeout.
Well, that could be a sport.
There you go.
Could be.
They could have Wipeout in the Olympics, then why not Costco?
Yeah,
Costco.
Get your Kasho equipment at Costco.
Yes. Yes.
Kasho.
Kash. Yeah. That.
So, the problem with these podcasts is we often have zero or no plan in place when we record them. So we babble inanely about bugger all.
I keep blaming myself for the long pauses.
Oh, no, don't blame me. No. That's how we all feel. That is how we all feel. We all blame ourselves.
God, I suck so much, it's leaving him speechless.
Maybe we're dumbfounded by your brilliance.
I cannot accept that.
We'll go with that one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that we're not dumbfounded by your brilliance, Tom.
Of course not.
Why would we be?
You're used to it by now.
Well, of course. Other science fiction news, while we're talking about returning shows, Red Dwarf Season 10 starts probably in the next couple of weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's that. They've also listed the all 6 episodes now have names. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
Let me dig up the complete list then, because fuck.
You don't have them memorized?
Of course I don't have them memorized. Okay, here we are. Okay, so the first episode is apparently called Trojan. Second episode is called Fathers and Sons. Sons is spelled S-U-N-S. Episode 3 is called Lemons. Episode 4 is called Entangled. Episode 5 is called Dear Dave. And episode 6 is called The Beginning. Which is interesting because the first episode of Red Dwarf is called The End. And literally everyone who is a fan of the show has made that connection. So everyone's going, oh no, it's going to be the last ever episode. But it sounds like Doug Naylor wants to make more after this.
Interesting.
So there may still be another season of Red Dwarf.
Huh.
Mm. Also, very interesting to know on the Red Dwarf front is the new episodes were filmed in front of a studio audience between December and January. Yet we've had virtually no spoilers leak out. I think that's incredible dedication on the part of the fans who were in attendance at the studio recordings.
That is impressive.
Yeah, that is.
No one has seen or heard from any of those people since, but...
I'm fairly confident there's a ditch in Shepperton filled with the corpses of everyone who attended the studio recordings.
Or they're keeping them in a building until the NDA is you know, over or something.
They're still in the studio, right. Yeah.
They're still there. No, guys, stay sat. We're going to record another scene any minute now. You just stay where you are, mate. Just stay there. We're going to bring out the warm-out guy again. It's his 1,827th consecutive hour of doing the warm-up, so give him a round of applause because he hasn't had any sleep, and we'll get the rest of the episodes filmed in front of you very soon.
Maybe they get access to the craft table at least.
Hopefully, maybe.
Oh my god, I remember doing background work on shows like Glee and Greek and other shows like that, and craft services. Getting to act on the rare occasions we were actually allowed to take advantage of craft services. And we got, oh my god, the best cheeseburgers. Like made in front of you cheeseburgers. Just glorious. Absolutely glorious. That's sci-fi.
Cheeseburger reviews.
I would do... It works for Damn Drops, so... And he got one of his reviews turned into a song by the Gregory Brothers, so... maybe that's what we should be doing. Maybe. I know what we should do. We should do song reviews of food and then wait until someone deconverts it from a song into a standard review. That's what we should do. That's where the money is. Let's chase that rainbow. Let's get fucking that chicken.
Wow. Can't argue with that, I guess.
So what else is going on? We have to talk about things. This is a podcast. We need to not be boring. Someone's listening to this, probably. Helen, my girlfriend would like to point with a mouthful of crackers and cheese, by the way, that she's currently listening to it as she's hearing me talk.
Well, that's most of the show.
That's pretty much
good.
It's a one-man show.
It's basically the Ben Padden Hour with guests.
But it's great to have a some caller feedback there. That's nice.
Ellen, what are your thoughts on Podwarp? She says, and I quote, "I don't know what the fuck that is." So that's our target audience doesn't know who we are.
There's our tagline right there. Excellent.
Now we have the title for episode 41.
Yes, don't know what the fuck that is. Yes. Helen doesn't. Oh, she just qualified that her statement with, "I don't listen to podcasts." So that should be the parentheses. I don't know what... Welcome to episode 41. I don't know what the fuck this is. Parentheses, I don't listen to podcasts.
Yep. What a glowing review.
Yes.
It's certainly not the worst review we've had. Have we had reviews? Do we have regular listeners? Does anyone care about
I can raise my hand. I have been listening recently.
Oh, well... That's arguably research.
I guess you could put it that way.
Yeah.
We've had comments.
I'm trying to make you guys happy, but apparently that won't work.
We're not very easily amused or impressed. Which I think is brilliant. I love it. I love the fact that we're not easily impressed. I think that's the best thing. Oh, irony.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I'm suddenly, because I'm thinking I need to order a pizza because I'm hungry. That's exactly why you order a pizza, because you're hungry. And I do remember the time I ordered a sandwich and it never arrived. Do you remember this?
Quality podcasting right there.
That was some fantastic. This is literally, let me tell you what happened. And we don't obviously need this to be in the episode because they can, we can do some harp noises and drop that bit of audio in.
This is a flashback. This is a prequel.
So, at the start of the podcast, I'd ordered a sandwich from Big Mamas and Papas, which was basically across the road from where I lived at the time. And then 45 minutes into the podcast, I hadn't had any email confirmation, phone call, and the food hadn't been delivered. So after we finished recording, I logged into Skype on my iPhone and walked to the store while we were still recording. And went to check out and found out that they'd closed, but they hadn't disabled their online ordering system. So that was the problem, is that I'd placed an order for a sandwich from a place that could not possibly have delivered, and I was not very happy. But we did get some great audio.
That was good. That was a good show.
Oh, that's good.
It's one of our best episodes, I think.
And
Sandwich that, Adventures.
That's not one of the lost episodes, is it?
Yeah, I think that might be a missing episode.
Oh, my word, that's the worst. We can't even drop the audio in.
To do a reconstruction of it.
That's right.
Oh, we should do that.
I'll make the sounds of traffic.
Who's going to make the sound of my pizza not arriving, sandwich not arriving?
Oh, wait. We might have it.
Episode, we might?
I think we do. Episode 1999.
Nice.
The show notes, I briefly talk about how the question, where is my sandwich, affects web cartoonists everywhere.
It's a great question.
Yes. It is.
Yes, we do
where
actually.
Is that sandwich? I want to write a children's book now called Where Is My Sandwich that is basically that story retold for a young audience.
It would work.
It would work. I think it would
work
great.
Where Is My Sandwich? A story with pictures by Ben Padden.
Perils of Online Shopping.
Yes.
That would be the young adult adaptation because it has a long word in it like perils.
Yeah.
Wait, children perils is a long word?
It is if you're American.
Oh.
Burn. I burned your entire educational system.
Wow.
Based on 5 years of experience living in this country.
I'm so offended.
The thing I love about this podcast is it is ostensibly a sci-fi webcomic podcast, and the sci-fi webcomic portion is generally the first 20 minutes, and then the rest is just bollocks.
It's true.
Yes.
You know.
On the subject of sci-fi webcomics, the episode 1999... The first thing we talked about was Mark's brand new sci-fi comedy webcomic, ETI-PI.
Wow.
So that's how far back that was.
Those were the days, lad.
Yes.
ETI-PI.
Yes.
That is true.
Didn't have any of those fancy saucer seekers back in those days.
No.
There were no saucers worth seeking at the time.
No, you wanted a... title that it was easy to spell because you were spelling it. Yes.
That's the depressing thing is it's like discovering that the first season of the X-Files, it was called like the Borowitz reporting situation. X-Alpha Squad 9 starring David Duchovny.
Yes.
And then season 2 is, oh, it's the X-Files now. So what's up?
But yeah, it does make you wonder how many other episodes TV series out there and movies had weird
stupid names.
Stupid names.
Well, it's like Roswell, for example. The first season of Roswell, the show was called Roswell High.
Yeah.
And wasn't Star Trek Enterprise just called Enterprise for the first two seasons?
It was, yep. You're right. Yeah, yep. Definitely.
Yeah. And wasn't Warehouse 13? Was it Warehouse 13 or Warehouse 31?
It was Warehouse
13. I'm fairly confident the first season was called Jerry and Wango's Buttfuck Phenomenon.
I'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Or Professor Henrold's Quiggleshiggles and his death-defying adventures through the cosmos. A show now better known as Sequest DSV.
That's right.
Oh my word, that show's on Netflix and it has not aged well.
Sequest. Yes.
It's like the guy from Jaws he does finally get that bigger boat he asked for, which was nice.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that was an interesting show because they were filming that in St. Petersburg when I lived over by Tampa.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So parts of it were filmed there, and it's kind of interesting that, you know, it's filmed on the road, but not that interesting.
Ted Raimi in that one?
I think you're right, yeah.
He did that, and then he did Xena forever.
Right.
And then he appeared in every Brother His movie ever made.
Yes.
There's a career for you.
Did you just say every brother his movie ever made?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my girlfriend is pointing out the fact that I mixed up two of the words in that sentence. Every brother his movie. she's quite amused by that.
And that was without the benefit of the American educational system, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you want to just join in the podcast?
Did you hear that?
I did. Sorry, there's a cat meowing at our door. There's a cat meowing at our door, which should not technically be possible. It's not. The thing is, which cat is that? Because it doesn't sound like.
I think it's Wicket.
I think it's one of our house. We live with four other people, and they all have cats. Do we live with four other people or three other people? I added another person there for comic effect. They all have cats. We don't because my girlfriend's allergic. We picked a great place to live. One of the cats, whose name is Wicket, her meow sounds like a person saying meow. It is the most fake cat sound I've ever heard come out of a cat.
Wow.
It's like a serial killer pretending to be a cat so that the person in the house doesn't cotton on to the fact that there's someone else in the house. Yeah. Meow. Meow. You there, meow. Meow.
Wow.
Sound a little Katharine Hepburn-y there.
We used to have neighbors who had a dog that barked and it just sounded like a guy saying, bark.
Nice.
You just hear from the closet, nice. Bark, 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 bark.
There was an ex-girlfriend of mine. She lived next door to a house with a dog. And you know that, I don't know whether it's video or what, but there's that the dog that says, I love you.
Oh, yeah.
This her neighbor's dog, it sounded like it was trying to say I love you, but could only ever get two words in. It'd always go, like it was like halfway through the second word, it forgets what it's trying to do. And we used to just spend our mornings listening to this dog, and then we'd ad lib later the notion of the dog sitting down in a study, writing and speaking aloud as it writes, "Dear diary, today once again, I have been unable to utter those three simple words. How difficult my life is. Oh, the shame." Now, that was basically, and you didn't see it, I was miming the handwriting, which I think was pretty
strange,
because this is a podcast. But that was, what are you doing? My girlfriend's coming over. Let me start that sentence again in English. My girlfriend just came over and patted me on the head, like some kind of leper.
Well, you were barking earlier.
No, you're the leper. And that was the domestic squabble section of 1999.
Nice how we have sections now. That's nice.
We're going to have to add some new squares to Pod War Bingo.
Probably.
This square should be marked, Ben is sleeping on the couch tonight. Don't worry, she'll love me again. I'm ordering pizza. So.
Excellent.
All right.
Yeah, but will you get it is the key question.
That's a bit of a personal question, if you don't mind my asking. How dare you? I'm so offended. Anyway. Oh, Best Buy are collapsing on themselves. Okay. Let's just throw all pretense of the idea that this is a science fiction webcomic podcast. Let's talk about any old bollocks. Best Buy are apparently in financial ruins.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Apparently they've posted losses for the last 1,000 years, and they pulled they shut down their UK operations entirely after experimenting for a year, and now it seems like they're probably going to be gone sometime within the next 6 to 8 months. Seems like they're going the way of Blockbuster. They've posted record losses.
Wow,
it's very science fiction related.
It is, because that's where I go to buy my Doctor Who DVDs.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Actually, it's probably directly related to the cancellation of the show Chuck.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
I think there's a tie there, you know, Chuck ends. And...
Tenuous.
Yeah.
That should be the new name of our podcast.
Tenuous. Sci-fi.
Welcome to Tenuous, episode 42.
Yes.
Oh, we're so close to episode 42.
Ooh.
We are, aren't we?
We are devastatingly close.
We'll have to do something special.
Who could do a Douglas Adams special? Let's see. Maybe we can get in touch with his agent, see if he wants to come on for an interview.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
A plan with no drawbacks whatsoever.
That could be him right there.
Well, we could do that. We could try and do a seance and raise the spirit of Douglas Adams. We could actually do that. I know someone who does the whole seance shit.
Really?
Yeah, well, actually, he's my dad. But he might be able to raise the ghost of Douglas Adams. We could actually do that.
Yep, so do it.
What's stopping us? What's stopping us from trying to bring back his ghost for an exclusive interview?
God's will.
We should see what he thought of And Another Thing.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a podcast.
Did he like it? Has he read it?
Good questions.
It is.
That's all I got. We really should pad more questions if we're going to try and have a conversation with a dead person.
Yeah. So what's Afterlife like?
That's a dumb question.
Has he read the novelization of Shada?
Oh, yeah. I still need to get that. Thanks for reminding me. Dear Amazon, please send me a book. I won't give you any money, but I would like a book.
Could have the ghost read it to you, maybe.
I like that idea.
Yeah. I think we get a lot of listeners for that.
Oh, well, yeah, we should have Douglas Adams record an exclusive. He could do, like, I could get him to read the Jump Leads audiobooks. That would be kind of weird. Anyway.
What's stopping us from doing this? Good taste. That's what's the... No.
Hang on, when did we start having good taste?
Yeah.
You're a liar and a charlatan, and I like the cut of your jib.
I guess we don't have good taste as a square on Pod Warp Bingo.
Why would we have that? Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves here.
Optimism?
I think we know exactly what kind of operation this is.
Good point.
So, David, Cosmic Dash, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, what would you like to know?
Please tell us more about your comic. Please.
Okay. Well, I'm going for the whole space opera thing, which is something I've really gotten into. I've been working on creating an entire fictional universe, and I've been adding a lot of stuff to it. I'm trying to create a compendium. So I've got a timeline. I've got a map of the galaxy. I've got a wiki I'm compiling and everything like that. You know, I'm doing the typical anal retentive sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Are you trying to keep it all consistent? No, you know, discontinuity anywhere?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Part of the reason for the whole timeline thing, because I'm working with other authors. I'm actually letting someone else write one of the episodes, and this is a new thing for me. This is a brave new world for me. So...
Cool. Yeah, we did a bit of that with Jump Leads. When I say a bit of it, I mean that was the entire structure of our creative team.
Yeah, I kind of want to do the whole Mike Mangola thing one day where it's just okay, I create a bunch of characters, let other people mess around with the universe and just periodically look it over and say, okay, oh, no, that's not right, go ahead and have him do this, etc. I wouldn't mind seeing myself in that role in a few years or whatever.
Nice. So, good ambitions. It's good to have goals.
Yep. This isn't the only comic I've done. I had one that was reasonably popular, but I couldn't keep up with it. Bandit's Quest. It was kind of a Homestuck sort of knockoff. People really enjoyed it, and I'm actually kind of reworking it as a comic pitch.
Cool. So,
yeah. Nice. A whole bunch of gaming stuff, that sort of thing. Also working on a science fiction. I tend to do a lot of that, obviously, but it's a future spy story, and that one's been a lot of fun to work on. We're almost done. We're almost ready to send it out to publishers to see if anyone will pick it up, but we'll see what happens with that.
Nice,
classy.
It's all about the diversification.
How diverse am I if I keep going to the sci-fi well?
Well. No.
I'm glad we had this talk.
I am working on a the thing is, I have so many projects, you know, and they're just sitting like half finished drafts on my desktop. It's ridiculous.
I'm good at that. I have a corpse file filled with scripts that I started but didn't finish, or notes for stories I haven't written, and it's stuff that I want to come back to. I've got a sci-fi story that started life as a Jump Lead story, then was going to become a spec script for Doctor Who, and is now I'm basically doing it as a standalone screenplay.
Nice.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You have to let those things sit sometime. I have a thing I've been working on for years now, and it's just like every once in a while I'll come back to it, add a bunch of good stuff, and then put it away.
Yeah. I've been trying to do a lot more like traditional writing, too, and I've got a whole files full of stuff that, you know, very different stuff that some's finished, some isn't. Well, not that it's finished, but, you know.
Do you end up incorporating a lot of those ideas eventually into your existing projects?
I haven't yet. There's some that I did, but there's some that I started off as a Zortik story and didn't really work, so I kind of tried branching it into something else.
Clickety-clickety.
Yep.
Yes.
Someone put a playing card in the spokes of a bike or something.
Yeah.
So, like, do you guys have any questions about Cosmic Dash or anything like that?
How does it end?
actually, I do have the ending written out, but I will not reveal it because I'm trying to build up something here. So, I didn't really answer your question at all.
Well, is it a hypothetical future ending for when you decide you're going to end, or is it everything is leading to it?
Everything's leading to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got a definite... That's the thing. I'm trying to do episodic stories, and you know, there's all sorts of different arcs. Everybody has their arcs, but the main character has his arc, and all this stuff is going to kind of move him through that, and that sort of thing. It's kind of... Actually, I'm kind of moving into some existential stuff, which is weird for me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So when you say you know how it's going to end, you really mean it. It's not just like the writers are lost when they said they knew how it was going to end from the beginning.
Oh, no. I have the final panel planned out. In fact, the final panel is a kind of an inversion of my season one splash image. Let me pull that up and I'll show you guys what I mean.
Ah.
Yeah, I have this visual for the first, technically, I guess, the first image of the comic, and I'm going to kind of do something with that for the final image of the comic.
Mm.
Well, and the idea is that even though that's like the end when I'm done with it, I can always because I'm working with like a flexible timeline, so I can always add episodes in as they develop somewhere into the timeline and everything like that.
Hmm.
Nice.
So. Cool, yeah. He said loudly.
It was very convincing.
Yes.
I'm not suspicious at all.
Good, as yeah. Well you shouldn't be.
Yeah, and I'm trying to incorporate a lot of things that I love. There's that term, good artists borrow, but great artists steal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm totally of that mindset. So if there's something that I like in any form of genre fiction, I try to take it and rework it in my own way.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of stuff. Futurama was a pretty big influence on this. And I occasionally toss in a Futurama gag. I've thrown Bender into a couple of panels. and the company owner of the comic, Markin, he every once in a while I'll have him pop off the line, "Good news, everyone."
Excellent.
That sort of thing. So, little bits like that. I jam this thing full of cameos.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's something when you're dealing with something like science fiction that is can be so non-human that adding those familiar references, you know, gives an audience something to kind of latch onto a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, and I threw Wally and Eve into the first issue, and I'm wondering if I'll ever get like in trouble for that.
I remember seeing that one. I did catch that.
Yeah, so I always wonder if that would actually be a problem, but nah, nobody reads my Rinky Dink comic. So.
Why would anyone give a crap about what you're doing?
Exactly.
Not until you start releasing, you know, the Wally and Eve merchandise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and almost no one's buying those t-shirts you had printed, so you should be fine, right?
Oh, man. I actually wanted to do a t-shirt, because you mentioned that you liked that MacGuffin title.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say something. Nothing gets your day rolling quite like a MacGuffin.
I like it.
I never actually put it together.
Well, you should put it together. Stop stalling and just do it. God damn, do I have to tell you to do everything?
The only merchandising I'm doing is actually selling physical comics right now.
Hmm.
So there's that, and I'm doing like artist editions where I draw sketches on the covers and everything like that.
Cool. How's that doing?
Pretty good. I mean, I did a limited run. It came with the first two issues with sketches, two sketch cards per package with like two cardboard backing sketches for the comic sleeve, and I even did trading cards.
Hmm, nice.
And it was $15, but I'm no longer doing that because I sold it at a loss.
Yeah.
So now I'm selling like each issue individually as like an artist edition if you want to get it.
Good show. Cool.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to make a whole lot of money off of it, but it felt like something fun to do, and I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Excellent.
And it's a good comic. I'm glad that people are buying it and that you are making a loss. And yeah,
it is a great comic. I'm fairly caught up, I've been loving it.
That makes me really happy. The next, I'm doing a two-parter after this current story. And like, you ever seen one of those episodes of a show that kind of mixes everything up and kind of completely rewrites everything?
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm doing with this two-parter. I mean, everything goes to hell for these characters, but hopefully in an entertaining way.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I kind of did something like that with the current issue of Jump Leads. It was the original intent was that it was going to completely revamp and change the format of the comic, but instead it's the last issue, so...
Wah, wah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess you can kind of call it like a soft reboot in a way.
Yeah.
Because I kind of want to move away from, like, the... Because it was definitely very Futurama influenced because they're shipping cargo and everything like that, but I came up with a better hook. So I'm kind of moving them away from the cargo shipping thing to this new idea, but I think this new idea is going to lead to a lot of really good stories. So.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Oh, boy, this is awkward. You know, and I try to jam as many cameos... I sent Tom a link to a cameo of Mort.
Yes. Morty's on the shelf.
You can actually see Bender in one of those panels. It's very small, but the pages I work with are really high resolution. But the panel below, or the shelf below Mort's appearance, you got Bender on the very corner kind of dangling off the side.
Oh, yeah.
So I do shit like that all the time.
Nice.
You got my approval. I don't know, that's what you were after. So,
yep, that's
congratulations.
Everything I ever wanted. Everything I ever wanted. So, you know, actually, one big influence was Star Fox.
Really?
Ah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at the characters, they're all kind of, I guess you'd say anthropomorphic. I'm just taking, like, animal traits that I like and making them aliens. I don't know if that would make, like, furry or anything like that.
Yeah, you're pretty furry.
Ah, shit. okay, I'm gonna go end it now.
Cool. Well, it's your time with Quark has been, you know, appreciated.
So,
do you have any other projects in the works? So, is Cosmic Dash pretty much the be all and end all, or are you? Do you have any other comics or any other stories you want to tell? Any other worlds you want to visit?
Oh God, you opened a Pandora's box here. with Cosmic Dash, I'm actually going to have a storyline that introduces, like, my main character. Like, you know how Stephen King had the Dark Tower, which kind of combines a whole bunch of his stories?
Uh-huh.
I kind of have something similar, and, yeah, all my universes are connected. Oh. I have one project that, it was my first webcomic, it was called Warped. I want to redo it as Bayside, where the city itself kind of becomes a character. It's kind of like the city is a supernatural nexus, and you have these three asshole detectives who are kind of, unfortunately, the city's only defense from all this weird shit that happens.
I do have to ask a question. When you say asshole detectives, do you mean that they are detectives who have the personalities of assholes, or are you saying that they work primarily in and around the buttocks?
It's a little of column A and a little column B, especially nice. When you get like sewer beasts and everything like that.
Marvelous. Fantastic. You've already got me hooked. Give me an RSS feed to subscribe to.
Oh, God. You know, I would love to do that, but it's like that time and money thing. I can't do that right now, especially with like college going on and everything like that. I'm amazed I'm able to update Cosmic Dash every week without fail. And I bust my ass on that.
That's okay. You know what? I guess that's how Hitler felt about his painting.
if only got accepted to art school. A whole lot of problems could have been solved. But, indeed. There's that bandit's quest, which, you know, I'd love to do, people seem to love, but I couldn't keep up with it because it was based on reader feedback, so I would shape the story based on comments that people left. So if the person's like, hey, swing the cat around by the tail, I would literally do a comic where the character's swinging the cat around by the tail, that sort of thing. The story didn't move along very quickly, but then I started to, like, take control of it. But too much work for me at the time.
Yeah, that's awful gutsy.
It worked out really well, though. People seemed to like it, and the characters were very popular. The Corgi Wizard was particularly well accepted.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are you just knocking stuff over? What I'd do. I think we've been recording for an hour and 20? Hour and 30?
I was going to say, how is our time? Yeah, we've got to be,
An hour and 20.
There should be a good 10-minute episode in there somewhere.
Statistically.
Yeah.
Well then, Mark, would you like to play us out?
Me?
Or Tom? Someone. How do we have the new guy do it? That's embarrassing.
There you go. I like it. There's your audition. Go for it.
I like it!
let's see. If only I had YouTube hooked up and Keyboard Cat playing or something like that. Play you guys out. Let's see.
Tell people what they've been listening to, where they can find us, how they can reach us, and what we smell like.
Okay, so you're listening to a podcast. It's available on the internet. The internet was invented in, what, the 1960s?
Sure, why not?
Okay, well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. It was actually created by a man who was actually influenced by Doctor Who. I have no idea where I'm going with this.
Sounded great to me.
You were good up until listening, which I believe was about two or three words in.
And it all fell apart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is perfect for us. That's exactly, fits with the
theme.
I'll
tell
you
what. I tell you what we'll do. We'll have Tom play us out. We'll have him do our formal play out. And I want you to listen to it and memorize it for next week, because that's when you are center stage, buddy.
Oh, boy.
All right. This has been an episode. Podwarp 1999.
Please tell me you're just going to edit it just after the word episode, you're just going to cut. Done.
There you go.
That's not an episode. It's not an episode. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
And then cut to
I could try like a George Takei voice. You have been listening to an episode. Podworld 1999.
Oh, my. Hello.
That didn't sound like George Takei at all.
That's the joke.
That's the joke.
Yes.
Hello, I'm George Takei, mate. Crikey.
No, I'm George Takei. William Shatner, even.
I don't mind George.
What voices are we doing? None of these are George Takei.
I think that's the joke.
Yes. If you have a George Takei voice, you can email us at podwarp1999@comicostrich.com and tell us how much you want to be a guest and show off your voice. Or you can join us on the forum at forum.comicostrich.com. Or you can leave a comment at the website where you're probably listening to this right now.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. We love you. Come to our house. We'll have a barbecue. It'll be great. It's bring your own beef, and we'll see you there.
Ben's buying pizza.
Yep.
Woo!
Good night.
Bye. What is wrong with us?
Well,
that one's going to need a little editing.
Yeah, maybe a
little editing.
The intro and outro music is Earth's Assault on the Central AI by Tetix from the album Technology Crisis. A link to Tetix's website is available on the Podwarp 1999 website.